What up, son? It's the tale of the tapes. The fuck life. Saying?
All right, here we are. Tale of the Tapes, Season 3, Episode 11. So, I'm not really feeling too good today. I've been sick for the past couple of days or so. Nothing too major. I'm not, like, fucking throwing up or have a fever or anything. But, you know, just a lot of chest shit, my throat. I'm just not feeling good. So, you know, please just bear with me today if I don't have the best energy. But on today's episode, we'll be covering Conniva and Con Artist. So, first of all, at the end of last week's episode, I made a mistake and said that today we'd be covering True Life and Rex, and that was obviously a mistake and is not accurate, so I apologize for that. But as far as the two being covered on today's episode, I don't have anything too specific to say on either of these guys, but I do have some things that I want to talk about. First of all, for anyone who by chance isn't familiar with these two guys, they're two members in the group D12 with Eminem. So there were officially 8 members of D12, and 5 of those 8 made the cut, which is obviously over 50%. So the group as a whole and the 5 members who made the cut solo material were all counted. But back to what I was saying about Conniva and Con Artist, and I guess D12 in general. Personally, I was never really a huge fan of that, you know, silly style rapping. And even when someone like Eminem did it and they absolutely murdered it, it just still wasn't particularly my cup of tea. I got a lot of friends who really love that shit, and they'll send me like certain Eminem songs, and I'm like, yeah, he, you know, he murdered it, but I'm just not really into that. You know what I'm saying? But with that being said, I can't say I was ever a huge D12 fan, although my boy was always telling me about D12 and Proof in particular. So shout outs to Dirty T. And I remember having this conversation back when we covered Proof in Season 2 about how I should have been listening to what he was saying, because Proof was way better than I ever gave him credit for. And I have to admit, I never really thought that anyone in D12 was too dope, to be honest, aside from Eminem, but Proof certainly surprised me, so maybe these two will as well. I'll say, I guess I expected these guys to finish right around the middle, but in the back half, give or take. So, you know, we're at 224 artists covered. I would say somewhere around like 115 to 125 I expected these guys to finish. But like I said, I don't know an overabundance of these guys. I've definitely heard some D12 songs and shit. Like, I've heard these guys. I'm not trying to say like I don't listen to them. But for as big of a fan of Eminem as I am, I don't really know too much about D12. Neither one of these guys ever had a solo album out, which actually took me by surprise, but their first official release was with D12 in 2001, so both guys technically officially came out at the exact same time, at least as far as this study is concerned, so it doesn't really matter who we run with first, but I have Conniva up here, so we're going to start off with him. Born Von Carlisle, December 10th, 1976 in Detroit, Michigan, United States. Origins listed as Detroit, Michigan, United States, also known as Rondell Bean and Hans G. His genres are listed as hip-hop and R&B, and his years active are listed as 1996 to present. So, first and foremost, let me say that there is very little to almost no information on Conniva individually, but I did manage to scrounge up at least something here. Personally, I never heard of these aliases, but like I said on the intro, I wasn't overly fond of this group in general, so that doesn't really surprise me, to be honest. But the only other thing I did want to bring up is that his years active are listed as 1996 to present, but like I spoke about, only made his debut with the group in 2001. But 1996 is the year that Eminem came out, and these guys were like childhood friends and stuff like that, to my understanding, so I'm sure at that point they were touring and doing things with Eminem and stuff like that, so that's probably why you see those years active like that. But nonetheless, let's read up on whatever else we can find of Conniva, and then we can get into the details. Von Carlisle, born December 10th, 1976, better known by his stage name Conniva, is an American rapper from Detroit, Michigan, and a member of the rap group D12. He debuted his solo career in 2010 with a mixtape. So like I said, little to no info on this dude individually, and to be quite honest with you, I had to dig pretty deep to even find what I just found there, and knowing now just how little material these guys actually had outside of the group, I guess this shouldn't come as a major surprise. But I do want to comment on the mixtape thing, though, because in that bio it said that he debuted his solo career in 2010 with a mixtape. But I'm going to stand here and tell you that there basically is no solo career, as that mixtape didn't qualify for the study due to either lack of info or rhyming on other people's beats and things like that. So no official solo albums for Kanaiva, despite what you read in that background. Not overly important, but I did feel it needed to be addressed. So with that out of the way, let's get right into my breakdown of Kanaiva and see how that reads. D12 as a unit was not only impressive, but consistent, and Kanaiva was no different. With such a small body of work on most of the members, it was tough to really get an accurate gauge on just how good each one was. While Kanaiva did struggle with his flow a bit at times, he also had some dope lines and was good with syllables. On top of that, he was pretty good at being able to keep a topic throughout and finished above average lyrically overall. Kanaiva only registered 3 albums for scoring, all of which were with D12. 2 were borderline classics, while the EP was great, again speaking to their consistency. Of his only 34 total registered songs, 5 were great, another 22 were good, and not a single one was weak. This again puts close to 80% of this member's work as being good or better, which is remarkable. While Kanaiva is in a group with possibly the greatest rapper of all time, he still was never able to take any of that momentum and run with it. To make matters worse in this department, Kanaiva had no clear visible impacts on any other artist thus far. While the lack of solo material prevented each artist from really being able to branch out into their own artistic lane, it was clear even with the small body of work just how original each member in this group was. So that kind of sounds like a write-up that almost leaves you wanting more. It seems like a relatively short write-up with a small catalog, but whatever was presented seemed to score well, with the exception of maybe the impact department. So let's check out the math here on Kanaiva and see where he winds up. Lyrics, he gets a 6, and I say this all the time with people that have these small bodies of work. When guys are getting, now it's not like 6 is an astronomical number, but I mean, there's some legends out there that got 5, 5.5. You know, you're talking about LL Cool J, Ice Cube, Run DMC, some real fucking legends out there that finished pretty well overall in the study that didn't reach a 6 lyrically. And these are guys that, for the most part, had like 20 plus year careers and things like that. So I'm just trying to point out, when a guy has 34 fucking songs and he gets to a 6, or I mean, we had The Last Emperor, I believe, had 20 songs or possibly even less than that, whatever it was. It was less than 34, I believe, and he got all the way up to an 8 lyrically. So incredible, incredible stuff there. Big Pun was another one who probably only had 30-something songs, and I think he got up to like an 8 or an 8.5 lyrically. Biggie probably only had 30-something songs and got to a 6.5 lyrically, and Biggie did that taking a lot of shortcuts and stuff like that. So Biggie certainly did have an overabundance of like really hard lines, and if it wasn't for the small catalog and a lot of the shortcuts and stuff like that that Biggie took, he could have probably hit a high number had he stayed around longer. But yeah, I say that to say this, you know, to get to a 6 and only 34 songs, and keep in mind, right, 34 songs, but pretty much all 34 of those songs are with other people. Because the only 3 albums registered for scoring were group albums with D12, who, like we discussed earlier, had 8 members in it. Now, I'm not saying there was 8 people on every song, but you gotta figure there's other people on pretty much every song that he ever registered in this study. So 34 songs, but definitely not 2 or 3 verses on all of those songs. So realistically, you're probably only getting about 34 verses in total from Kanaiva, which, if you split that up into like solo material, that's like the equivalent of like 11 songs. So definitely a small body of work presented here for Kanaiva. So to get to a 6, you know, in that amount of work is definitely impressive. He wasn't ridiculous, but like I said, he definitely had some dope lines. He was good with syllables. He was pretty good with being able to keep a topic. He did struggle with his flow a little bit at times, which was a little bit of a knock. Maybe possibly could have gotten to a 6.5 had he cleaned that up a little bit. Another album, honestly, I mean, you know, if he would have came out with an official debut solo album and, you know, kept pace or gotten better, he could have easily hit a 7 on that album. Because, again, keep in mind, that's going to be more than a quarter of his work if he comes out with a solo album, because you got 2 albums and an EP, which are group material, and then 1 full solo album. So, in all reality, there would probably be almost as many verses on that solo album as there was on the other 2 albums and EPs combined, because it was group and EP. So, you know, again, I'm not trying to get too ridiculous here with the numbers, but I'm just trying to make some points that definitely a pretty solid lyricist here in Caniva, and I just want to keep stressing the fact that not a lot of material, and he still got to that number. So, impressive stuff there lyrically for Caniva. Albums, he gets a 6.27 with no official classics, but we did talk about how the 2 albums were both borderline classics, and the EP was great. So that's obviously a great album score, and, you know, we'll discuss this a little bit more in depth after I'm done giving all the numbers, but I do want to discuss the possibilities here had he hit those 2 classics, because I talk about this all the time. There's a specific reason why I call something a borderline classic and not a great album, because in all reality, where my album scores are marked down, there is nothing called a borderline classic. There's just numbers, and it says weak, average, good, great, classic. Those are like the tiers that you hit. But I go out of my way to let you guys know when something reaches a score of a 2.0, because 2.1 or higher is what's considered to be a classic in this study, technically speaking. Not what I love, not nostalgia, not what sold well, nothing like that. We're talking about, you know, originality, topics kept, popularity, lyrics, rhyme schemes, ability to keep a topic, stories told, original songs, rhyme schemes, syllables rhymed. Again, just every possible thing that goes into making an album is all included in that album score. But I think it's important when something gets a 2.0, because it's so fucking close at that point to getting that extra point for that classic album. And listen, if we give him an extra point, does it move him up to 3rd or 4th place? No, obviously not. But, you know, the extra point you divide it by 5, that's going to give him an extra 0.2 on his final score. Had he gotten both of those, that's an extra 0.4, plus probably a very slightly higher album score. So, again, you are starting to talk about some significant stuff at that point. And I wouldn't argue with anybody who turned around and told me, man, you're wilding, them D12 albums are classics. Now, again, I'm not talking about the D12 album in whole here, because the songs that Caniva was not on, he wasn't scored for. So when I say a borderline classic, I'm talking about all the songs that Caniva was on those albums. Same way that Con Artist and Swifty McVay and Eminem and Proof were all scored by the songs that they were on the D12 album. So not all the scores for Devil's Night are going to be the same for every person, because they weren't all on the same songs. Now, if I sat down and scored that D12 album as a whole, I couldn't tell you what it would get, because I didn't do that. I didn't keep track of that, because that's not the way the scoring is working here. But I'm just trying to make a point that had those been classics, then yes, Caniva obviously would have gotten the 2 extra points for classics. So if anybody wants to sit here and say, bro, you're wildin' saying Caniva has no classic albums, those 2 D12 albums were classics, I wouldn't argue with you, bro. I really wouldn't. So I would at that point just give you the green light and say, go ahead and add the 2 extra points in there and tally up his score after that. You want to move Caniva, and I don't know where he finished off the top of my head, but I'm just saying, you want to move Caniva from 100th place to 92nd place, go right ahead. I have no issue with it. I won't argue with you about that. So that's the only point that I'm trying to make here. But like I said, man, 6.27, that is a fucking great album score. He doesn't officially get any of the extra points for the classics, but a really great album score. And, you know, it's kind of give and take when you talk about how he got that score. Because, yeah, I'm sure some verses or some songs or whatever were raised up by some Eminem verses or whatever the case is, or whoever it was. Maybe a Royce feature or something like that. But we also have to remember that Bizarre is in that group as well. And I don't really think anybody, including Bizarre, thinks Bizarre is good. And I'm not saying that to be a dick. I'm just saying he talks about, you know, raping his grandmother's asshole and jerking off his dog. So I'm not trying to be funny or disrespectful. I'm just saying I don't really think that anybody thinks that that guy is really helping any of the song scores. Now, Bizarre solo songs, if there was any, didn't count for anything because Bizarre didn't make the cut. But I'm sure that Bizarre was on some of those 34 songs that Kaniva was on, without a doubt. I'm sure. So, you know, it's a little bit of give and take there, but again, a really great album score. Songs, he gets a plus 1.5. We talk about it all the time, plus or minus a full point in this department. It starts to become significant. So he gets plus an entire point and a half. So not quite two, but right in between one and two. That's definitely significant on the overall score. Had he lost a point and a half, which really isn't that insane to think about. I mean, all he had to do was take away the five great songs and score them as five weak songs, and you're talking about a three-point swing right there. So that definitely would be very dramatic on the final score. That would move somebody probably 30, 40, possibly even 50 spots, depending on where they were in the study. You know, at certain parts, there's people in big ties. So if you move up one little spot, you're really moving up, jumping 10 people. You know what I'm saying? Certain other spots, it's not the same. There's big gaps between people. So your score might get raised a lot, but you might only go in front of three people. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, depending on where he's at, that could be a huge, huge swing. So really solid stuff there in the songs department. Like I said, only 34 songs in total, five great songs, no weak songs. That came to 15% of his material. You slide the decimal place over one spot and it gives you plus 1.5 in the songs department. Impact, he gets a just below average score of 4.5. And again, this is the same type of thing where there's some give and take. So every time you say one thing, you have to look at the other side of the coin. Okay, this guy's in a group with probably the greatest rapper of all time, right? That's got to count for something. It does. But he never really got much out of it. That's got to count for something too, right? It does. Well, he only put out three albums, two borderline classics and a great album, an overall great album score, and 80% of his songs that he put out were good or better. Correct? But on the flip side of that, again, look at your opening statement. He only put out three albums, two albums and an EP to be exact, all of which were with a group. So again, you have to look at both sides of the coin. Yes, this, but that. So, you know, all of these things kind of even each other out. And then again, you have to take into consideration there is absolutely no solo material. He doesn't have any official solo albums. And he didn't have any clear visible influences on any other artist to date in this study thus far. So I think when you couple those last two things in with the other things that kind of are give and take and go back and forth, that's kind of what pulls him to just below average in the impact department. But again, all of these scores, with somebody that only has two group albums and an EP, all of these scores are so easily changeable should he just come out with one album. If he came out with one solo album and he was really solid on that album, that lyric score could easily go to a 7. The album score could probably go over a 6.5. He could register a classic album. His song score could go up. His impact score could go up to a 5. And should he be really off the wall on the entire album, his originality score could go up too. So, you know, again, I say that just to point out that when somebody has such a small body of work, especially when it's in a big group like this and none of it is solo, should they come out with solo works, I mean, that's going to be such a big chunk of their overall material that it would have a big effect on their score. Obviously, on the flip side of that, if he came out with solo material and it was subpar, these scores would easily be dramatically dropped down to maybe a 5 and a 6 and a plus 1, you know what I'm saying, shit like that. The impact score probably wouldn't be dropped down ever by somebody coming out with a solo album unless their impact score was fucking huge and then they finally came out with some solo shit and it tanked. Then, you know, maybe it goes from a 9 to an 8.5 or something like that. But even then, I probably can't see something like that happening. If they got up that high, there's probably a reason why. So I don't think a solo album tanking would really bring them down significantly enough for me to go in there and actually change their score like that. But I'm just saying these things to make a point. But yeah, overall, he gets a just below average score of a 4.5 in the impact department there. And originality, he gets a 9. And again, this is another impressive thing here, but I mean, it just is what it is. I tell you guys all the time, not only do I listen to these people's songs and stuff, but I'm watching interviews on these people. I'm looking at pictures of these people. I'm watching videos of these people. I'm reading things on these people and stuff like that. I'm really getting a good grasp of these guys' personalities and who they are as people and who they are as artists and who they brand themselves as and what they're trying to bring to the table and just everything about these people. And it was clear. It was clear right away from the very beginning that this entire group as a whole and everybody in it, they're not out to copy anybody. They're absolutely out here to do their own thing. Every single one of them brings their own thing to the table. Very, very original artists, every single one of them, or at least the five that I covered. So I'm always impressed with that. You know, I always want you to be yourself. I obviously also would like you to be good. That definitely helps. But hey, sometimes you vibe with shit that's not technically good, bro. I've brought this up 100 times. I love Master P. I love ODB. And again, not to shit on these guys, but technically speaking, they're just not good. They're not lyricists, stuff like that. That doesn't mean that I don't like them. I still like a lot of their music. I still vibe out to a lot of their shit. So, you know, sometimes you just like some shit that sounds good to you, but it's, you know, technically speaking, it's not very good. And then the other times there is some shit that is technically amazing and you just don't like it. I just don't like the way it sounds, or I don't like this guy's voice or whatever. Necro is a good example of that. Necro was very good and I fucking hated him. So, but yeah, my point of, you know, saying all that is that, like I said, I love when people are themselves and I would prefer them to be good, but it's not always necessary. But in this case, you know, we do have an above average lyricist here who, like I said, from the very beginning, it was clear that these guys were out to do their own thing. Now, as impressive as this score of a 9 is, right, and I'm not trying to take away from that at all. Again, I do just want to point out that, like I said at the end of my write-up on Conniva here, that even though it was very clear that these guys were very original artists and they were definitely just being themselves and doing their own thing and being true to themselves, at least that's what I got from listening to them. They really, in all fairness, weren't even given a chance to really show who they were and what they brought to the table that was different than the group. Now, what I mean by that is, sure, a certain guy may look a certain way, or a certain guy may have a certain delivery, or, you know, Eminem may, you know, Eminem is white and the rest of the members are not, right? And I don't mean the stereotype here, but in general, white people are a lot more apt to be like serial killers and mass murderers and shit like that. And I'm certainly not bragging about that. That's a disgusting statistic. But to my knowledge, it just is what it is, right? So it's not often, and this I know for sure, it's not often that you hear a lot of black artists rapping about serial killer shit and murdering everybody. They may talk about robbing people or killing people, but it's never in like a sick sadistic way, or usually not in a sick sadistic way. We had some sick sadistic people in this study, and they were all white. Necro, Eminem, Just Allah was up there. Just Allah was pretty sick. So I'll give him that. But like I said, bro, you're always going to have your exceptions. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, not all white people are fucking serial killers and mass murderers, and not all black people are going to be fucking angels. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to just stereotype everybody, but I'm trying to make a point. And the point that I'm trying to make is that Eminem can show his originality, right, by rhyming about these crazy things. Oh no, now he's raping his own mother, right? Like, the rest of these D12 members are probably not going to talk about raping their own mothers. Bizarre certainly does. But again, Bizarre's is in a different fashion. Bizarre's is on some retarded, disgusting, like, I'm like retarded type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he even makes noises like he's retarded. Eminem's is a little bit more on some sadistic, psychopathic shit. Like, I'm gonna fuck my mother and then cut her throat because I'm fucking insane. Like, type shit. You know what I'm saying? So even though similar roads there, different approaches, different mindsets behind them. And then the other members have their other shit where, yeah, they're a lot different than not only a lot of the other rappers that are out, but they're a lot different than the other D12 members. They're not rapping about, like, raping their mothers and serial killing people, but they're still being original. So they never really gave themselves that lane of going off on their own and just really doing what they 100% wanted to do. Because when you're in a group, right, and the group is making a song about, you know, like the band shit, right? That's an original type song. But everybody that's on that song has to rap about the same thing. You see what I'm saying? They all got to rap about being in a band and Eminem like stealing their shine, and then they can all present their own take on it, right? But they're all rapping about the same thing. On your own solo material, you would only be rapping about what you wanted to be rapping about, or at least I would hope so. You know what I'm saying? So as great of a score as that 9 is, it got there without these guys even really ever giving themselves a chance to branch out and really like show what was different about them from the other D12 members. They mostly had to be original on group material. And again, they still found a great way to do that. A remarkable score of a 9 here in the originality department. And I'll say it again, should he come out with solo material, that certainly could be raised. The likelihood of that ever getting to a 10 is very unlikely, but a 9.5 is certainly possible. And a 10 is possible, but I just, you know, I really, 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 really just try not to give any 10s and 0s in this study unless I'm really absolutely forced to, where every single aspect of something is 100% nailed to the point where there isn't somebody that could come along in the future and do something better, at least not in any way that I can foresee it happening. So really solid scores here for Kanaiva, despite the you know, the lack of material and obviously the subpar impact score. But other than that, really solid stuff. So let's add up the numbers and see what we get here. You're going to add up those 5 numbers and then divide by 5 because that's the number of categories we have. And that gives you a final rating of 5.45, which puts Kanaiva in 39th place of 227 artists done overall. Wow, man. I mean, listen, let's put things in perspective here, because I feel there's a lot of interesting things that need to be noted when talking about this score and this finish here. First and foremost, taking all the applicable things out of the equation here, right? 39th is a pretty solid finish. This should easily land Kanaiva inside the top 100 when this is all said and done, possibly even closer to the top 75. Ooh. Now, let's factor in the things I believe are relevant to bring up here. I want to be clear that for a dude with no solo material, only 34 songs, and a subpar impact score, to finish in 39th place so far is extremely impressive in itself. Factor on top of that he registered 2 borderline classics that could have swung the other way due to a minor discrepancy on a line or two. If you factor in those extra 2 points to his score, he finishes even higher, which, like I said earlier, I won't argue with anyone who wants to claim that. On the flip side of this, though, we do also have to recognize that in this group is one of, if not the greatest rapper of all time. So that is obviously helping his scores in some way, shape, or form, whether it be lyrically or with popularity or whatever. So this is one of those scores and finishes that might not be entirely accurately indicative of just how skilled this person was individually. But nonetheless, man, this is the way the math worked out. And I definitely have to give Kanaiva his props, man, because he was not only better than I gave him credit for, but finished much higher overall. So again, shout outs to Kanaiva, no question. Now, with Kanaiva's section being finished, let's move on to covering another D12 member in Con Artist, who, like I said, also had his solo debut with D12 in 2001. Born Denon Porter, December 7th, 1974 in North Carolina, United States. Also known as Mr. Porter, Con Artist, and Denon. Origins listed as Detroit, Michigan, United States. Genres are listed as hip-hop and R&B. And his years active are listed as 1996 to present. So this is very similar to Kanaiva's initial info, even down to the birthdays being within 3 days of each other, although in different years, but still. We also see that he was actually born in North Carolina, but his origin is listed as Detroit, Michigan. So, not only was I not aware that he was born in North Carolina, but unfortunately, at this current moment, I don't have the backstory of how or why his origin wound up in Detroit, but interesting info nonetheless. So, let's check out some additional background info here, which wasn't as hard to find for Con Artist as it was for Kanaiva, interestingly enough. Denon Porter, born December 7th, 1974, also known by the stage names Mr. Porter, Con Artist, and more recently simply Denon, is an American rapper and music producer. Born in North Carolina, Porter moved with his family to Mississippi and later to Detroit when he was 10 years old. His father, Charles, is a gospel singer and former member of the Blind Boys of Alabama and the Christian Airs, and his mother is a writer. Porter started his career with D12 in the mid-1990s. He was inspired to rap and produce after hearing a Tribe Called Quest song, Bonita Applebum. Mr. Porter was introduced to Eminem by fellow D12 member IQ back in 1995. He was a member of Detroit hip-hop group D12 until its disbandment in 2018. He has a close association with rapper Eminem, often appearing on his tours, and has produced for a manifold of other notable artists such as 50 Cent, Royce da 5'9", The Game, Method Man, Snoop Dogg, Jadakiss, and more. So like I said, a bit more detail there for Con Artist than there was for Kanaiva, and there you have it. We see an exact explanation of not only how, why, and when he wound up in Detroit, but also how and when he got down with D12, which correlates perfectly to the years active for both Con Artist and Kanaiva. I thought the reason for rapping and inspiration to start producing and stuff like that being linked back to A Tribe Called Quest, Bonita Applebum was pretty interesting. I definitely did not know that prior to reading that. And also, I gotta admit, man, I did not realize until I covered D12 in this study just how much behind-the-board stuff with production and things like that Con Artist and even Eminem was doing for other artists and stuff, and pretty big-name artists at that. So I definitely did want to just point that out, because a lot of times important things like these do go unrecognized by even myself. So definitely dope stuff there, but other than that, not too much. I'm assuming most people didn't know, so let's just get right into my synopsis of Con Artist for now. Con Artist was very similar to Kanaiva, especially lyrically. He also had spots where he struggled with his flow a bit, but was able to override that with some dope lines, ability to keep a topic, and the amount of syllables he was able to rhyme consistently. He was right up there with the other three qualifying members for second best in the group lyrically, finishing above average overall. Like most of the other members, Con Artist didn't have an overabundance of material with just 37 songs registered. Of those 37, 6 were great, not a single one was weak, and another 23 were good songs. Following suit, Con Artist also didn't have any solo material and only registered the 2 albums and EP with the group. One scored as a classic, another registered as a borderline classic, and the EP was great. While we can't entirely pin these scores on him alone, 33% of the albums he was a part of were classics, with his worst work being great. On top of that, over 75% of the songs they put out were good or better. When you add no solo works to an already small catalog and no other artist's influence, coupled with some other matter-of-fact things, the group as a whole didn't do overly well in the impact department. However, every member of the group made up for that in the originality department, always bringing new and unique deliveries and content to the mic. So as was the case with bios and background info, this sounds like a very, very similar write-up to Kanaiva. We see a slight difference in the number of songs, which mathematically shouldn't matter much. We do, however, also see that Con Artist did manage to officially register a classic album. So that means that somewhere in one of those albums, they were on different songs that scored differently, and Con Artist's version just happened to break that 2.1 score, whereas Kanaiva got 2 borderline classics at 2.0. So we'll have to check out the actual math here and see how much of a difference the minor discrepancies create in the final rating. Lyrics, he gets a 6, which, like I said, I'm not trying to necessarily pin people against each other. This is not an episode called Kanaiva vs. Con Artist, but they are in a group together. They are on the same episode together. So I do like to just point out what each person got and why they got it. But I really don't have to get into too much detail here. That's the same score that Kanaiva got, and it was gotten in pretty much the exact same way. He had a little bit of trouble with his flow at times, but he had his fair share of dope lines. He was able to keep a topic pretty good, and the amount of syllables that he was able to rhyme consistently was impressive, so he gets an above-average score of 6 in the lyrics department there. Albums, he gets a 6.49 with one classic, and this is exactly what we were talking about before when I was talking about Kanaiva, and I said, should Kanaiva come out with a solo album, these scores could easily be raised or lowered. Now, it's not that con artists had any solo material or any solo albums or whatever like that, but the one album that I guess was probably a one or two song difference that maybe he was on and Kanaiva wasn't on or whatever the case was, I don't particularly remember exactly what it was for each song, but obviously there was some differences of songs there which resulted in con artists getting a slightly higher album score on that one album, where Kanaiva got the 2.0 and con artist got the 2.1. So a slightly higher album score at 6.49 as opposed to 6.27 for Kanaiva. Still a great album score. Both of them great album scores, but slightly higher album score here for con artist. Plus he gets the extra point for the classic album. So we're kind of seeing shades of, okay, we spoke about this with the last dude, but now it's kind of happening with this dude. So how much of a difference is this going to make at the end of the day? Songs, he gets plus 1.6. Kanaiva got plus 1.5. So that's obviously not a major difference. That's not going to do anything significant there. But, I mean, again, still, the 1.5 was really solid. We talk about being plus or minus a full point. So 1.6, obviously really solid stuff here for con artists. Impact, he gets the exact same score, just below average score of 4.5, and exact same reasoning for con artist as there was for Kanaiva, so I'm not going to go back over that again. And originality, again, I'm going to say the exact same thing. He gets a 9, same exact score as Kanaiva there, same exact reasons. He was very, very original. They were all very different, but aside from Eminem and Proof, they didn't really give themselves an opportunity to really branch out and show how they were different from the other particular group members. But nonetheless, still a friggin' remarkable score here of a 9 in the originality department for con artists. So you add all those 6 numbers up. It's not 5, it's 6 here for con artists, because he does have the extra point for the classic album. So you add all those 6 numbers up, and then you divide by 5, which is the number of categories we have. And that gives you a final rating of 5.72. which puts con artists in 31st place of 227 artists done overall. So I don't think I need to re-say all the shit that I just said about how impressive it was that Kanaiva finished so high with such a small body of work, low impact score, and no solo material. Well, same deal here with con artists, only he managed to finish even higher at 31. Scores extremely, extremely similar across the board, and this isn't a major difference in overall finish here, but probably due to that extra point from the classic album for con artists, but almost nothing to separate these two clearly. So like I said, man, extremely impressive stuff, especially taking all things into consideration, but I certainly did not have any of the D12 members finishing this high when I started this study, so they definitely exceeded my expectations, no question. So, like I said, man, major shout-outs to Kanaiva, con artists, and the whole D12, who were very impressive and never fell out of place on a song with the possible GOAT. Now, we just ran off all our lists a couple of weeks ago on episode 9, so no lists here today and no lists next week. However, in 2 weeks on episode 13, covering Rex and Lil Romeo, we will read off all of our lists in full again. So if you want to see if either of these guys made any of those lists or just what the lists sound like currently, stay tuned for episode 13. If you'd like to see any of these lists, they're all in writing on the Tale of the Tapes Facebook page. If you're interested, the Facebook page is www.facebook.com/Tale of the Tapes Podcast. You could just give that page a like and a follow. You could stay up to date with that page. You can interact with the podcast. You can give your own ideas for the podcast. You can give predictions on artists and, you know, whatever you feel like, really. You can also give the host website a visit at www.anchor.fm/Tale of the Tapes. Both of those links are spelled completely normally. On the host website, you'll see a support button. And I want to be clear about the money that is donated to me. Not that there's been a lot of it, but I usually don't ever keep any of it, to be honest with you. It's usually either put in an envelope for my daughters, my wife, or donated to other artists who I see out here supplying things to free for their fans and relying on donations to try to help, even though they hardly even come close to evening out. But, you know, I mean, any little bit helps, but yeah, I did just want to be clear on where that money is going anytime I do receive any of it, even though it's, you know, it's not a lot of money. But I look at it like, hey, if I was to keep $20 every couple of months for myself, it doesn't really add up to a lot. I can't really do much with it. But if I give that $20 to an artist that I really like and I don't necessarily have the means to support them by going out and buying their material because, you know, I'm not financially set like that, and I could give him 10 of that $20 and a lot of other people have that same mind frame and do the same thing for him, then, hey, we keep that guy going. We keep our free music that we're enjoying, you know, being put out and things like that. So, you know, I'm kind of a fan of paying it forward, bro. I'm not really the type of dude that goes out and works a 9-to-5. I'm a big fan of the barter system. I'll do for you, you do for me, you do for me, I'll do for other people. It's kind of just the way I operate. So I did want to just put that out there, that while I do throw out, you know, what my link is and how you can donate to me, most of the time that money is not even really going to me. Half of it at most is going to me, and that's a very little amount of money to begin with anyway. So, but other than that, man, that's going to do it for today's episode. Next week on episode 12, we'll be covering the last D12 member to qualify in the study, Swifty McVay, and True Life. Tale of the Tapes. Peace.
Tale of the Tapes. Might as well.